It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On the telephone today, we're joined by the board chair of the Tuolumne County Supervisor, Sherry Brennan, and County Administrative Officer, Tracy Riggs. And a little bit later on, we'll be talking with Tuolumne County's Director of Innovation and Business Assistance, Cole Prisabilla, and a number of different things to talk about this morning. First off, tough budget times for sure for the county. And at Tuesday's supervisors meeting, there were more discussions about the budget deficit and a variety of different options were discussed. No final decisions made regarding cuts. Now the budget will be balanced. But CAO Riggs, as we sit and talk here this morning, what is kind of the state of the budget and the shortfalls that will be need to be addressed over the coming weeks?
Good morning, BJ, and thank you for having us today. We always look forward to opportunities to engage with you and our community. So over the coming weeks, when we left yesterday afternoon, we worked with the board about scheduling a special board meeting to follow up on our conversation, and that will happen next Friday, May 29th, and I believe it starts at 10 o'clock. And that conversation will involve further budget conversations, including the juvenile hall. So I know many are interested in that.
Projected deficit, where does it kind of look right now as we talk?
So it's actually not a deficit. A deficit would be when we overspent, and we did not overspend. It's just, you know, it's a shortfall. And I say that just because there is some confusion that we operate in deficit, and actually by law we can't. We always have a balanced budget. But what happens is we start looking at the next year's costs and the revenues. We have identified that we have more expenses than we have revenues. And so when we have that situation, we begin the process of reducing our expenses. And that's what the beginning process was yesterday. You saw some of the conversations we've been having with our staff for concession bargaining, and then all of the other issues, libraries and rec and the juvenile hall and some of our outside contracts. So we begin looking at all the components of spending when we begin addressing the need to reduce our costs.
You mentioned the juvenile hall. Can you explain a little bit about what has been looked at to this point as possibilities to reduce costs?
Absolutely. So with the juvenile hall, we have been, as everyone knows, looking at that every year and the cost associated with housing youth. And our model here, for anyone who is listening, and if anyone has not visited the hall, I would encourage them to go do that and set a time to walk through the hall. It is a state model for the level and types of services and education that is being provided in our juvenile hall. However, the cost is significantly high, and what happens is that when we take another county's youth and they're paying, and I'm giving an example, say $100 a day, that is not enough to cover the cost of housing the youth. So what we're looking at is how can we do one of two things, or both, reduce the cost of operating the juvenile hall and or increase the revenues of the juvenile hall. And our former chief probation officer, Linda Downey, had done some great work. She had already filled out the application with the approval of our presiding judge, Donald Segerstrom. And so that would be for camp beds. And those are tend to be services for maybe a higher level offender to get some ancillary services they might not get otherwise. And that was approved. And so not next fiscal years in 2021, but in 21-22, we could see as much as $200,000 more in revenue. Unfortunately, we have to wait a bit. So to sum it all up, we are looking at all avenues. I just met with our chief probation officer, Dan Hawks, and he is also working with counties to see if they're willing. Will they pay more? Are they willing to help even secure beds? So maybe they pay an annual amount, but it secures their beds for the year and helps to offset all of our normal daily operating costs. And he and his staff are working very hard on that as we speak.
And do you know at next week's meeting, is it going to be kind of a laid out, a presentation of the current situation, then direction from the board as to how to move forward?
Yes. So what we will have is I'm working with Dan, and he and his staff are putting together some models. Some of those models will include a bare bones model that might carry a little bit more, meaning, I hate to say risk, but send a youth with a transportation officer, and maybe they don't have a probation officer in the vehicle. So we'll have the bare bones model. We'll have the the regular model as if we were going to send everyone out, and then a model of what it would look like with what we have right now with increased revenue. So there will be some options for the board to look at and discuss, and we may come up with a hybrid of the three. We'll just see how that all pans out as they continue working with our partners outside of our county.
And then the new jail facility that's going to be coming online down the road, you know, can you explain the tentative plan when it comes to working that at a reduced level?
Yeah, so the sheriff had come to us as he was looking at our need to reduce our costs and looking at ways that he could operate the new jail at a reduced level of expenditures. And what we saw yesterday was he is saying that he would right now would not need to fill the five vacant jail deputy positions that the board had approved for him in this fiscal year. He has worked with his deputies. They've all agreed to do 12-hour shifts throughout the fiscal year, but he would need some jail custody techs. And so we've gone from adding in five jail deputies this fiscal year to freezing those positions, adding in some jail techs, and then we will also add in a housekeeping and facilities maintenance worker, as it's a 60,000 square foot building, which is additional square footage in what we have right now. He's working very, very closely with all of his staff at ways that they can make this work, and I think he's done an excellent job.
And Supervisor Brennan, bringing you into the conversation, anything you'd like to add on these first two topics, whether it be the juvenile detention facility or the new jail?
So, yeah, appreciate this opportunity also to be talking with your listeners, BJ. And I want to be clear, you know, all of these choices are incredibly difficult. And I know Ms. Riggs talked about our revenue shortfalls, and I think we'll get into that a little bit more in the COVID conversation. But I really want to emphasize how difficult these decisions are. Even going through a process, no decision has been made, but in just looking at what the options are, how difficult these conversations are. And want to reemphasize, we are all talking, and when I say all, that's at different levels throughout the organization with our counterparts in other counties, and with, you know, specifically referencing the juvenile hall, because everyone recognizes the outstanding program that is done there, and it's done in benefit to our children. And when I say our children, Calaveras County would say it's done in benefit to their children, as would our other partnering counties. And so there is recognition across those counties about the tremendous, absolutely outstanding work that is done at the juvenile hall. I want to really emphasize that. And so now the conversation is really turning to, we need some assistance in getting some cost recovery if we're going to find a way, a path that keeps that functioning at the level that it is. So I just want to emphasize to our neighboring counties that might be listening, we're really looking forward to hopefully you partnering in looking for some of these solutions.
We need to take a quick break on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined on the telephone this weekend by Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs and the board chair of the Tuolumne County Supervisor, Sherry Brennan. A little bit later on, we'll be talking with Cole Prisabilla as well, Tuolumne County's Director of Innovation and Business Assistance. During this first segment, we have been talking about budget challenges related specifically to the jail and the juvenile hall. A little bit later on, we'll be talking about things like recreation and library services, as well as the ongoing challenges related to the COVID-19 response. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.